Right, the Stars take on the Scorchers.
I'm Alice Hogg. Japan's Prime Minister is pleading with the Islamic State to spare the life of a second hostage being held by the militants. The extremist group has released a photo showing the body of a Japanese hostage beheaded by militants. Speaking through a translator, Shinzo Abe says the act is abominable.
I feel deep resentment and resolutely condemn these acts. I would like to again strongly call for no harm to be done to Kenji Goto and for his immediate release.
Police are searching for those involved in a brawl in Sydney's southwest, which has left an innocent man in hospital. The 40-year-old tried to break up the fight in Mount Annan early this morning, but was then turned on and knifed. Joanne Elliott from police headquarters says fortunately his injuries aren't life-threatening.
That 40-year-old man was allegedly stabbed when he tried to break up the fight. He was treated at the scene by paramedics before being taken to Liverpool Hospital. Police have been told his injuries are not life-threatening.
A new name has been added to the state's most wanted list. 40-year-old Darren Rispin failed to appear in court last month after being granted bail on 27 charges of supplying and possessing illegal drugs as well as directing a criminal group. The Premier is promising to protect swimmers by trialling cutting-edge shark detecting equipment on the state's beaches. Elizabeth Daniels reports.
Three people have been killed by shark attacks in the past 18 months off New South Wales. Two great whites were pulled from nets at Bondi within days of each other in November. And ocean predators taunting Newcastle's coastline shut beaches for 9 days early this year. With his first election policy commitment, Mike Baird wants to make enjoying our beaches safer. He's promising to roll out $100,000 worth of sonar technology at popular spots and give surf lifesaving clubs specialist training. Elizabeth Daniels, Macquarie National News.
Goat Island will be returned to the Aboriginal people of New South Wales should Labor be elected in March. Opposition leader Luke Foley is expected to formally announce the move this morning. Public access would continue with the state's land council encouraged to explore tourism, education and economic opportunities. In other news, two planes have landed safely in the US but are waiting to be searched by police in Atlanta after credible bomb threats, and the European Union is urging Russia to intervene after the latest round of violence in Ukraine, which has killed 30 people. In sport, Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios are keeping local hopes alive at the Australian Open, striving to become the first two Australian men in years to reach the tournament's quarterfinals. Craig Gabriel reports.
Bernie Tomic and Nick Kyrgios are looking to break a drought when they play Tomáš Berdych and Andreas Seppi, respectively. The last time an Aussie man was in the quarters at the Australian Open was 2005. The last time they were two in the quarters here was 1987. While the last occasion two Australian men were at the quarters of any major was Wimbledon in 2000. Craig Gabriel, Melbourne, Macquarie National News.
Rafael Nadal and Andy Murray are also in action today at Melbourne Park. Australia is expected to welcome back Shane Watson and David Warner in tomorrow's one-day international tri-series clash with India at the SCG. Both players missed Friday's win over England with hamstring complaints. Sydney Sixers have made it into the Big Bash League final after defeating the Adelaide Strikers with an 87-run win. Sydney will meet the victor of today's fixture between the Perth Scorchers and Melbourne Stars. And in the A-League, Sydney FC have ended their mid-season drought with a 5-1 victory over Central Coast, while in the other game, Adelaide United beat the Newcastle Jets 7-0. This is Macquarie National News. It's 8:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The chance of afternoon showers and a storm today. Tops of 35 degrees in the city, 36 in the west. Drizzle tomorrow for Australia Day. Right now in town, it's 22 degrees. Humidity is 90%. Winds are from the west-northwest at 4 kilometres an hour. It's 21 at Bankstown.
The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Want to start working in the rail industry? First get your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au and kickstart your career in rail.
Good morning, everybody. Police operation outside Carlingford Court. Pennant Hills Road, one lane either direction taken up at the Carlingford Road lights. At Homebush Bay, M4 approaching Homebush Bay Drive. Citybound, we've got a broken down van and some changed traffic conditions around Chatswood as well for the Pacific Highway and Albert Street. There's damage to the tidal flow infrastructure there. Oz Design Furniture Store, wide sale ends tomorrow. Hurry in store to save 25% off all furniture and homewares. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations. That's the latest traffic. Number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Now, Sky Sports Radio goes that extra mile. This is what it feels like. 7 days a week, you'll get more trackside information for thoroughbred, harness and greyhound racing, latest markets from tab.com.au, and up-to-date sports scores in cricket, tennis and soccer. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
It's time to land a better deal at Landa Toyota. It's time to grab a great deal on the unbreakable Hilux SR5 turbo diesel dual cab. It's time to experience Landa Toyota's famous customer service. And it's time to grab a better deal right now at Landa Toyota. Hilux SR5 manual from $47,990 drive away. So make time to come and see us today. You'll always land a better deal at Landa Toyota. Visit landatoyota.com.au.
Did you back a winner on the weekend, John?
I didn't have a winner all day, and I still came out in front.
What do you mean, mate?
I had a five-leg place multi. I backed 3 seconds and two-thirds and got a collect.
You are too smart for me.
Add a little value to your multi today with a few fixed odds play selections. You can have up to five play selections in your multi across thoroughbreds, harness and greyhounds. Head to your local tab or download the tab app and have a crack at a fixed odds place multi today. Gamble responsibly.
This is Mo. G'day, Mo.
G'day.
Mo's big in railway infrastructure. What you been doing, Mo?
Mostly talking to labourers, plant operators and parents about working in the rail industry. It's a great career choice, but first up, you need to take a RISI course.
A RISI course?
Rail Industry Safety Induction. Before you work in the rail industry, you have to do a Rail Industry Safety Induction. Only takes a day. Book now on risi.com.au.
That's risi.com.au.
We'll get you trained.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
Here we go! Oh, it's worth the shout! Get in the hands! It's a hat-trick! We've got one tonight at the MCG! And it's Dan Christian! You beauty!
He's past the point of no! Ladies and gentlemen! Come on down, Carmichael Hunt! All around Australia, they'll get to see that one! A Carmichael killer! Ash McGrath comes in! It's on its way! It's there!
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Foz Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
Welcome back to the program, Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Now, again, just to recap, if you're just turning on the show and you're wondering what's going on, the way the show will be played out now for the rest of the year, for this whole year, in the new 2015 version of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, Ray Thomas, he'll be in the hot seat 52 weeks of the year. You're there, Ray, talking all things sport, racing, no matter what it is.
So plenty of racing. More racing if we want.
So. Yeah, exactly. So it's not, what we're not doing is we're not just going to pigeonhole between 7 and 8 racing. It's now from 6 till 9, the show, racing throughout. It's more like the weekday show with TK and Slats.
Well, 6 till 10 for the first 2 weeks.
And 6 till 10 for the first couple. We're putting in extra. Me and Ray are giving just that little bit more that, you know, that's the type of guys we are. And then in the rugby.
No extra money for that, Stu, unfortunately.
Well, that to be negotiated.
Unless you can negotiate for me.
I can see my phone ring is Jared already. And then during the rugby league season, Jimmy will be back, so I'll step out of the seat for the next. I'll be here for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Then Jimmy will step in during the rugby league season, and he'll talk all things rugby league as that becomes the big sporting event of the year. But
again, bit of racing, bit of sport, plenty of fun and a lot of feedback. So just call in, SMS, email, etc., because that's what it's about, Stu. It's a sports show, but still plenty of racing there.
It is. 1353 53 is the number. 0419 767 272. 0419 SMS BSB if you want to send in an SMS to the program, or if you're a Twitter man, at Big Sports Wend is the number. And we've got a tweet here from Mr. Howe, who's asked, and he's asked us, question, what's going on with the Australian cricket team with all the hamstring injuries? Now, Mr. Howe, I agree with you. I don't know. But if I was Australian cricket, I'd be asking some serious questions. You've got five or six guys with a hamstring injury.
Tweaks, yeah.
That's a problem to me, because it's not as though one guy's got a shoulder and one guy's got a back. And
well, Clark's, as we know, has been a condition he's had for a while, but Mitch Johnson's had a little tweak. Shane Watson appeared to be going okay there for a while. His body was holding up, little tweak, missed the last ODI.
David Warner's got a...
Sean Marsh.
There's a lot of guys with a similar sort of injury. So to me that is, well, hang on, your training methods are a bit incorrect here.
I was going to ask you, Stu, when your days, the Australian cricket team, would the training methods have changed much? Because I can't recall many fast bowlers breaking down with hamstring injuries, for example.
Yeah, look, it has. You know, I played in an era, you know, that wasn't professional and then became professional, and then the fitness trainer and all the sports science started to come in right at the end of my career. Personally, I think they spend too much time training and doing very, you know, specific. If you wanted to be very specific about cricket as a sport and train like a cricketer plays, you train, as the bowlers would train all day.
Yep.
So they'd train in the morning. Then they'd have 2 hours off or an hour off, and then they wouldn't be allowed to warm up again. They'd start straight into sprinting and running, and then you'd have another hour off. That, if you want to get specific, they don't. No, that's not. That's ridiculous. You can't train like that all the time.
We're lucky at the moment. Our fast bowling stocks are pretty good, Stu. But even 10 years ago, I used to think that bowlers like yourself bowl better when you kept bowling. And you bowl more. And it seemed to me these days they're managed a lot. They don't bowl as long as spells. They don't bowl as often as, say, you did in your heyday.
Well, there's a fine line, and I agree with you. The thing that happened is, about 10 years ago, they brought in all these restrictions for the kids.
Yeah.
So kids didn't bowl a lot.
And it's flowed through.
And it's flowed through. So what you're getting now is all these guys that haven't bowled enough, now bowling excessively. When we were kids, we just bowled. We got injured when we were 16 and 17 and 18. But then when we got to 21 and 22, we had less injuries or less serious injuries.
Yep.
Nowadays, you're seeing the guys get injured at 21, 22, 23 because they haven't done the bowling when they were kids. So there's a fine line between trying to get that right.
On the same token, the judicious use of Mitch Johnson in the last Ashes series and again this summer, I think has been outstanding because he's been able to maintain his pace from the first ball that opened over to the last ball of the day, and particularly in the Ashes series, he was just outstanding. This summer, the pitches have been a lot flatter, but he's still been an effective strike weapon.
Very much so. He's very much an effective weapon. And look, and we've created some other bowlers to go. Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins,
coming through now.
So Australian cricket, especially with the bowling stocks, is looking pretty healthy. Let's go to the open line, 1353 53, and Rod's there. Good morning, Rod.
We think we've got
Rod. Sorry, we've got Michael. Looking at the wrong board. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Stu. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Mate, just ringing back Reece Stephen, who you spoke to last week about the seven marathons.
How's he going?
Mate, he finished Singapore last night. So there's six down, one to go.
So for those that are just recapping, Stephen Viles is running seven marathons in seven continents in 7 days. Is that correct?
That's extraordinary.
That's correct. They started in Antarctica last Monday.
He's got one to go.
And he's... he's done all of them in about 4:21. There's six of them doing it.
Yes.
And they've all done the whole six. And I think they arrived from Singapore about midday today and start in Centennial Park about 1 o'clock.
When do they sleep, Michael?
They sleep on the plane.
In economy.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be that tired. Sleeping wouldn't matter where. What's the cause they're running for?
The John McLean Foundation. I think actually John McLean's going to run with them for a little bit today, apparently.
So, okay, that'd be great. Yeah.
They had 1,300 people run with them in Cairo.
Wow,
amazing achievement.
What they've got overseas has been spectacular, and we were hoping we might get a lot of people to Centennial Park today to run with them if we could.
Well,
I'm going to do a lap or two.
Well, if you want to go for a run on seven marathons in 7 days with Stephen Viles for the John McLean Foundation, Centennial Park, got an issue with the heat, I reckon, today. They reckon it's going to be 35 to 40 degrees.
Well, can you imagine in Singapore when they have two official marathons every year?
Yeah.
One at midnight and one at 4 a.m. And these guys had to run their marathon at midday yesterday.
Yeah, it would have been hard work. But well done to him. Let us know how he goes next week. Be interested to know.
Yeah, he'll give you guys a call.
Good on you, Michael. Appreciate your call. There he is, Michael. Stephen Viles running 7 marathons in 7 days in 7 continents. And, yeah, you've got to maintain travel in there. So all this, how stiff and sore would you be after getting off a plane?
An economy class for seven days in a row.
All for the John McLean Foundation.
Oh, it's a great achievement.
Great cause. Well done to him, and be interested to talk to him. His wife actually sold me my house. So I've got a sort of connection to Stephen Viles.
Yeah.
She's a real estate agent down at Cronulla.
Fantastic achievement.
Yeah. She used to run marathons as well, so I don't know whether she's doing that. Morning, Rod.
Stewie, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
Thanks, Ray, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, Rod.
Oh, mate, you know
Jimmy's listening. He would pre-record. He'll record this show and then listen to every call that comes on.
And then when he comes, he's going to give it to me.
Good man, Rod. Good stuff. Keep going.
Anyway, listen, I spoke to you last week, Stewie, about Nick Madison building an innings, and he done it last night.
He was outstanding, wasn't he?
He certainly did. They changed the batting order. Mm. He came in at three, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit to combat, and I was talking to Brad Haddon about this yesterday, to combat Johan Botha.
Yep.
Johan Botha comes on, and because he bowls right arm off spin, Sixers have got two left-handers in Maddinson and Lum at the top of the order. They wanted to change it up a bit. So Maddinson came to three. I thought he batted really well last night. He got himself in, and as you saw, once he got himself in, and you're playing with three, you get a bit of luck as well. Yeah.
Well, at one stage there, Rod, it was 23 runs off 25 balls, and we're looking, the Sixers, at about a 140, maybe a 150 score at best. And then Maddinson's gone berserk and ended up with 85 off 48, and the Sixers got over 180, and it was basically game over.
And a question for you, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rod.
I just got a little something to say to Mrs. Waterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the Berkeley out of... You can take the girl out of Berkeley, being Miss Winona Crossan, but you can't take Berkeley out of the girl.
Yeah, no, she's a little...
A fantastic young lady.
She's a little star, actually, Rod.
And, you know, she's had her falling out, and we all know her. We've known her since she was a young little girl, and all the trainers and out there, stick her up, put her on your horse, she'll keep riding your winners.
You know what, Rod, at the elite level in sport, these things happen all the time, but the bottom line is... her rivals, her peers, all rate her, and that says it all about Winona Crossan. She's a young star, Stewie.
Yeah, she certainly is. Thank you, Rod. Appreciate your call. Keep calling. SMS coming here. As long as there's a fair share of football, the world game, I will continue to listen. There's no name on that SMS, but good. Thank you for that.
Is that from your mum, Stu, maybe?
That's from Michelle, from my wife. Thank you, Michelle. Congratulations, boys, on the new format. I've suggested a third person join the week show for some time, but it's never been considered. Great to have a strong cross-section of sports represented, but again, badminton and marbles has been forgotten. Oh, sorry, marbles haven't been forgotten. Jimmy lost his. That's Bruce from Bomaderry. Now Jimmy hasn't lost his marbles. He'll be back in the rugby league soon. He's having a
world's busiest man. He's having a little.
As I said, if you want Jimmy, just go up and down the dial a few times. You'll bump into his name somewhere in his voice somewhere along the line. But
badminton,
he'll be back.
And marbles. I haven't played marbles since I was about 8.
Yeah, marbles. That was a good game.
It was. Yeah.
I can't. If I said to my 8-year-old, "Let's play marbles," he'd say, "You're kidding, aren't you?"
Yeah, that on the Xbox and PlayStation these days, mate.
Now, a Sky Sports Radio racing morning goes that extra mile. Racing HQ, Tab Sports Talk, Racing Previews, Going Greyhounds, On the Pace. Thursdays at 10:30, Chinwag with Sean Cosgrove. And at 10:30 Fridays, the early information for Saturday's feature race day. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
This is what it feels like.
Ever thought of working on the railway? Driving a loader, a crane, or laying track? Mo here knows all about it.
Yep, if you want a career with a bit of adventure and good rewards in the rail industry, check out RISI.com.au.
RISI?
Yep, stands for Rail Industry Safety Induction. RISI cards are issued by Transport for New South Wales. It's your first qualification, you have to have it.
Take a look at RISI.com.au and get trained.
That's RISI.com.au.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy. And it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet trucks, stackers and order pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
The goss on your sport and your team. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. And one of the biggest yearling sales in the Southern Hemisphere is about to start tomorrow. Stewie Randwick yesterday was deserted of most of our big name trainers because they're over at Karaka. A man who's very happy to see them over there is the boss of the Karaka yearling sales, Andrew Seabrook. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Stuart.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. I know it's a really busy time for you. The yearling sales start tomorrow. I know there's a lot of Australian trainers and owners over there. How are the sales shaping up for tomorrow?
Yeah, no, we're really pleased, Ray. It's obviously the sales season started well up at the Gold Coast a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, as you say, most of the Australian trainers are here and they arrived pretty early here on the sales ground this morning and getting busy to work and looking forward to a big week. And, of course, we've got our crack a million tonight to kick things off.
Andrew, how does the dip in the dollar affect the sales?
Look, I'm sure it'll have a small effect, Ray. Our New Zealand dollar's actually gone down a couple of cents in the last week, which may help us. But, you know, some of the Australians will go into the ring and look at the bid board and they'll look at the price in Australian dollars. And, look, it'll affect some of them. Others won't worry. I think the horses here are good value anyway, so they take that into account.
Yeah.
But look, I'd be lying if I said it was not going to have some small effect.
Now, the international buying bench, is it big?
Yeah, it's good, Stuart. It's you know, Australia's been our biggest market for biggest buyers for, you know, ever since 1927, and hopefully that'll continue. But not just Australia, we've got Hong Kong and Singapore as well, and Malaysia, Macau, China, and the locals, of course. And it's a good buying bench.
Andrew, I know I ask this question every time I get you on with the Karaka yearling sales, and I know it's a difficult one for you to answer, but the top lot, is there one yearling that really stands out this year?
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to answer that. you do every year.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Lot 340 is a lovely colt from Waikato Stud. He's actually by Fastnet Rock. He's out of a full sister to High Chaparral. It's an international page. It's a colt that I'm sure is a potential stallion and one that'll take the eye of many Australians over here. So yeah, if you're going to ask me to name one, it'll be her Lot 340.
Andrew, we see the Magic Millions growing over here in the Gold Coast year by year, sitting bigger and bigger and bigger. Are you finding the same thing over there?
Yes, but not as big as the Magic Million sale. I think they were blessed this year with having another $10 million put into that race day, Stuart.
Sure.
That's certainly a big factor. And the domestic spend in Australia is at Magic Million sale is quite incredible. Look, we will no doubt see some of the flow-on effect because there are plenty of Australians that couldn't fill their orders at Magic Millions, and so they're saying that, hey, they've got plenty of horses to buy over here. So we'll certainly see a flow-on effect from there, but I can't see our sale being up 15 to 20% like it was.
Andrew, is this sale a bit of a changing of the guard with New Zealand breeding? I think it's the last two Zabils ever to go through the sale ring, and I'm sort of trying to educate Stewie about horse racing at the moment, Andrew. And Zabil, Stewie, is one of the all-time great stallions, and he's basically been New Zealand breeding for the last 2.5 decades. His last two yearlings go through the yearling sales, and starting on Monday. And Andrew, all these new first-season stallions, some really mouth-watering stallions have come onto the market this year, like So You Think, Jimmy Choo. I think you've got some Sepoys and Smart Missiles and Helmets also in the catalogue. Is this like a changing of the guard or beginning of a new era in New Zealand breeding?
Yeah, I guess it is, Ray. We've been selling Zabil for the last 20-something years, and he's, you know, a wonderful sire, as you know. Sababil is looking to take over. His son, of course, Sababil at Waikato Stud, is looking to take over the reins. But Patrick Hogan, Sir Patrick Hogan, will be leading the last Zabil through the ring, lot 102, tomorrow. And Patrick hasn't led a horse through the ring for many, many years. So he's going to do the last Zabil. But, yeah, some up-and-coming sires, Ray, like Tavistock, showcasing's going well, Martha Craftsman. And I reckon the Jimmy Choo's, the Australians might just... I think he's a bit of a sneaky one. He's by a good sire, and, you know, Australians know what a good racehorse he was, so he could be one just to keep an eye out for. But, yeah, certainly changing the guard, and how well did the first-season sires sell at Queensland, and hopefully that will continue here.
Exactly. Look, Andrew, I know you're really busy, but one last quick question. I know you love your tennis. I know you love your cricket. Your tip for the Australian Open and your tip for the World Cup.
Oh, geez. Well, my tip for the World Cup is New Zealand, aren't we going well?
Of course, right? Yeah, of course. Actually, wow, that Kane Williamson is a star, Andrew.
Yeah, he is. How about Ronke the other day?
Good Australian boy playing for New Zealand. That's always good to see it.
Yeah. So, hey, tennis, I don't know, now that Federer's out, I'm not sure, Ray, but I'd love to be at the Australian. I'll never, ever get to see the Melbourne Open, unfortunately, because of the time. No, watching it on TV for sure.
I'm heading down tomorrow night, Andrew, so I can't wait.
Good on you, Ray. Look forward to having another game with you too one day, mate.
Well, Stewie, he absolutely wiped my... I couldn't compete with him. Yep, straight sets. It was great fun. Straight sets, and I think he played me off a break.
Well, he's good with the horses. He's good with the tennis racket as well. Andrew, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll speak again soon.
Good on you, Stuart. Thanks a lot, guys.
Andrew.
There he is, Andrew Seabrook. Seabrook, New Zealand Bloodstock. Big auction on today. Horses
starts
are plenty.
Tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow. Yep. Mm-hmm. Plenty. Just listening up. Again, my not knowledge of horse racing. It's growing, but now that I'm listening, Magic Millions. We sat there.
It
I sat in
bumper,
your seat.
Yeah, bumper sale.
They talked about the numbers coming out of it. It's becoming, and you know, the syndication factor in horse racing.
That's the key, Stuart. It makes it affordable.
It's all of a sudden become something that... You know, I like horses, but I can't go out and pay $400,000. But I can buy a tenth or a quarter of a tenth or something share in a horse and have a little input. And we saw that, and I was talking to you on Friday about this, about having the Moses on Reeks and Stephen Smith and a mate of mine, Matthew Duff, own a part share in Sachet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw Matt yesterday, and he was putting his suit on. I said, where are you? He said, I'm going to the races. Because his other horse, Multilateral, which ran like a bastard from what I can gather... was running at Randwick. And it's just giving people that attraction or that connection with the races.
It's affordable, and you can go there and you can become an owner for the day. Even if you own a hair on the tail of a horse, it doesn't matter. You're a part owner for the day, Stewie. So I'm going to work on you. We'll get yourself, Jimmy, Miracle, and you, and myself, all
getting
your horse together.
Do I get to call it a name?
You can do whatever you like,
I want to name it Glue Factory or something like that.
That might not get through.
I think Graham's there. We'll go to open line, 1353. Morning, Graham.
Good morning, Stu. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just want a question for Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Graham. How are you?
Good, thank you. Sky TVN, the bull with that, what do you think the outcome will be and how long do you think it'll be before it's resolved?
The negotiations are still continuing, Graham. I think by mid-March what you'll have is... three channels on Sky Channel, 519, 520 and 521 will all be horse racing. The TVN channel will no longer exist. 521 will be like your Sky version of TVN now. That'll showcase the main Gallops meetings each day. So I think by mid-March, that's where we'll be at with that.
It's certainly there's been a lot played out and read about in the media, but certainly Sky, as you said, then there'll be three channels on horse racing.
So people who like the TVN style showcasing the main race meetings, they'll still get that on channel 521. Look, it's still continuing, Stewie. It's been a 10-year racing super league almost. It's been a divisive issue, but very, very close now to coming back under one umbrella, and I think it'll work well.
It couldn't have been good for racing, though, for a sport as a whole.
Well, racing's not big enough to divide the assets the way we were, and almost infighting. It was a divisive issue. TVN did very, very well in showcasing the main meetings, and that's what Sky now has to do, and I'm sure they will. That'll be on Channel 521, I reckon, by about the second Saturday in March. So that's my little tip to that.
Yeah, okay. SMS coming here. Well, hey, boys, so good to hear some variety on the show rather than just Jimmy rabbiting on about the Roosters. Yeah, good point. It's one of the stipulations I had in the new contract that I didn't have to rabbit on about the Roosters. I can rabbit on about the Sharks, but you'll get enough Rooster talk in the winter when Jimmy's back. Saturday night he'll be there, and then he'll be on Fox and all the rest of it. So no name on that SMS, but thank you for that. Hi, boys, I heard AB on the radio last night. He was in the dressing room of the test side and couldn't believe how many people per player. When he says people, he means support staff. So
family and sports staff.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that team. After the 8:30 news, we've got Leo Schlink, and then we'll talk to Andy Pascalides about all things football. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Of 36 degrees. Good morning, I'm Alice Hogg. Japan's Prime Minister is vowing not to give in to terrorism after a video was released purporting to show a hostage murdered by Islamic State militants. The BBC's Michael Bristow reports.
The video contains a message that one of the hostages, Haruna Yukawa, has been killed, but the other, Kenji Goto, is still alive. The Japanese government said its release was an outrageous and unforgivable act. It's now trying to find out whether or not its contents are true. Islamic State militants had demanded a ransom of $200 million for the release of the hostages. The deadline for the payment was Friday. That passed with initially no word on the fate of the two Japanese citizens.
Two men are in hospital and a third is being questioned by police after a fight in Carlingford. Three men aged in their 20s were stabbed during the argument, but only two of them have needed treatment in hospital. A 40-year-old man is also in hospital after being knifed while trying to break up another brawl at Mount Annan in the city's southwest. The state government will prop up a previously federally funded pensioner concession scheme for at least another 3 years. It will cost New South Wales $343 million, but ensures seniors won't have to pay full price for public transport fares, energy and water bills and council rates. Ageing Minister John Ajaka says it's the right move.
What I'm really pleased about is that the Premier, Mike Baird, has confirmed and announced that the seniors' concessions that were cut by the federal government in their last budget for the four-year period are now being reinstated.
Parents trying to adopt overseas will be assisted by a new bureau to cut red tape and help them negotiate with foreign governments. The Telegraph reports a team of Australian officials will fly to Vietnam this week to revive our lapsed adoption agreement. The federal government is also pursuing agreements with the US and Poland. Women are more opposed to a rise in the GST than men. A new Galaxy poll shows 52% of female voters don't support an increase of the goods and services tax, even if they secure other tax cuts. By comparison, 49% of men say they'd accept a rise if income taxes were lowered as compensation. In other news, $100,000 will be spent on trialling sonar technology to detect sharks near popular swimming beaches, and a 13-year-old girl will face court today accused of stabbing a taxi driver in the throat in Dubbo. In sport, Novak Djokovic has bolstered his status as Australian Open favourite, defeating Fernando Verdasco in straight sets to reach the fourth round. The champion faced his first serious test of the tournament against the Spaniard, triumphing 7-6, 6-3, 6-4. He says it was a good match.
It was a big challenge for both of us. He was a former top 10 player, somebody that loves playing on a big stage. It's a powerful game, so I'm just glad to go through in straight sets.
Aussies Nick Kyrgios and Bernard Tomic are also on court for their fourth round test today. They'll be hoping to break a decade-long drought and progress to the men's singles quarterfinals at Melbourne Park. A host of stars are expected to be welcomed back into the Australian side for tomorrow's one-day international tri-series clash with India at the SCG. It includes Shane Watson and David Warner, who missed Friday's three-wicket win over England with hamstring complaints. The Sydney Sixers have booked a place in the Big Bash League final in Canberra after defeating Adelaide Strikers by 87 runs. Sydney FC have ended their mid-season A-League drought with a 5-1 win over Central Coast, while Adelaide United beat Newcastle Jets 7-0. This is Macquarie National News. It's 26-9.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The chance of afternoon showers and a storm today, tops of 35 degrees in the city, 36 in the west, drizzle tomorrow for Australia Day. Right now in town it's 22 degrees, humidity is 90%, winds are from the west-northwest at 4 kilometres an hour, it's 21 at Bankstown.
The autumn carnivals are closing in and Sky Sports Radio has it covered. On-track information, betting moves and the best race calls in town. The two-year-olds charge into the Blue Diamond in Melbourne and racing celebrates Australia Day at Canterbury. Stay with your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This is Mo. G'day, Mo.
G'day.
Mo's big in railway infrastructure. What you been doing, Mo?
Mostly talking to labourers, plant operators and parents about working in the rail industry. It's a great career choice, but first up, you need to take a RISI course.
A RISI course?
Rail Industry Safety Induction. Before you work in the rail industry, you have to do a Rail Industry Safety Induction. Only takes a day. Book now on risi.com.au.
That's risi.com.au.
We'll get you trained.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7pm, the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
1353 is the open line number. Welcome back to the program, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Stewie and Ray sitting in the seats this morning, talking all things sport and racing, don't forget.
Plenty of racing, Stu.
Again, just to explain. 6 till 9 usually, we're 6 to 10, Ray's in all the time, Jimmy and me will share the other side. There's no designated racing component of the show. It's racing all the time. It's sport all the time. So it doesn't matter. If you've got a racing question, you want to talk to Ray, got a sporting question, you want to talk to Ray, 1353 is the open line number. Now, we had tennis. We've got the tennis going on, and we haven't run through a lot of the scores this morning, but some of the more notable games, the both Williams sisters are through. They're through. Stan Wawrinka, last year's winner. We remember the epic final where Rafael Nadal hurt his back. He's through.
And playing well, Stan the man.
Yeah, Stan the man. That great backhand. Mm. Best backhand in world tennis, arguably. Novak Djokovic, he's through. The big match that was earlier in the week, Federer, he got beaten, which was just sent shockwaves through the sport. Must be the marketing peoples and the TV peoples, an absolute nightmare. Milos Raonic beat Benjamin Becker, the Leighton Hewitt conqueror. Mm. Madison Brengel beat Coco, I'm going to get this wrong, Vanderway, I think her name is, the one that beat Sam Stosur. Yeah. So she's out, she's an up-and-comer. And there's a few other results. So look, we're getting into the business end. Week two of the Australian Open's about to kick off. Some of the big names are still there. Some of them have left, have been defeated. Mm. So plenty coming up. We're going to talk to Leo Schlink. He's on the open line now, and he's our tennis expert for the weekend.
He's chief tennis writer, and if what he doesn't know about the sport's not worth knowing, Stu.
All right, well, we'll go to him now. Good morning, Leo.
Morning, Stu. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Leo.
It's certainly starting to heat up, and I've just run through a few of the results, but a lot of the big names still there.
Yes, there are. Venus and Serena Williams on the women's side are still doing well, along with Novak Djokovic on the men's side and Rafa Nadal, who play tonight. And to add it even, make it even spicier for the Australian viewpoint, a couple of blokes called Tomich and Kyrgios going around also.
Yeah, Super Sunday, isn't it, Leo? Leo, just quickly on Venus Williams. I think she's through to the fourth round of a Grand Slam for the first time since 2011. She's a great story in herself, given her illness that she's currently competing with.
That's right, Ray. She's been to hell and back physically and had all kinds of problems. And, you know, she's been run down for such a long time, and she's now finally getting the benefit of some of the stuff that she's been doing. And at 34, she's still out there, and she's still probably got one of the best serves in the world. In fact, I'd say only Serena amongst the women has a better serve. Coco Vandeweghe will probably get there one day, but yeah, she's still a great player, and it's worth remembering she's won Wimbledon five times, and she still wants to be out there, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, at 34 too, you sometimes think you're getting to the end, but remind you, Federer's 33, and whether, you know, his defeat, you know, I'm sure there are people running around saying that this is, you know, this is the beginning of the end for Federer. But look, in all fairness, Seppi played some good tennis.
Absolutely, Stu. Andrei Seppi is a really good player, and if you go back through his career, the number of big scalps that he has, it's quite remarkable, and the near misses that he's had with players. And he played out of his skin a couple of days ago, and you know, the way that he finished the match off, I think if anything that Roger took out of that match was that Seppi had to come up with a shot like that and was able to. It just showed what great form he was in. There was one last line when Roger left the media centre, and he said, "Don't read too much into this." And for a bloke who had more wins than any other on the men's circuit last year, 71, he won five tournaments. I think he might have been in 10 finals. That's a pretty good effort for a bloke who was struggling with back injuries 12 months earlier than that.
Yeah, exactly. Leo, the resurgence in Australian men's tennis, I don't know if it's too early to call that, but the emergence of Kokkinakis, the emergence of Kyrgios, the continued emergence of Kyrgios, Tomic seems to be playing at a different level now. Sam Groth, I know he's a bit older than those three gentlemen, but he's had his best ever Grand Slam, so to speak. Is this the renaissance of Australian men's tennis?
It's the start of it, right? Numbers get you spikes, and spikes being an extraordinary performance, and if they turn into a Grand Slam win, that's what Australian tennis has survived off over the years. And we haven't seen these numbers in probably 12 to 15 years. And you have to go back a lot further to get even more numbers like that. And what's happening is the players you mentioned, there are a couple of guys who are around that age of the Bernard Tomic age, I think are really talented. There's a kid out of Adelaide, Murray Bridge, called Alex Bolt. Hits the ball really, really well. Hasn't discovered what it is to be a professional yet. He forgot to enter the Australian Open, can you believe it? But he's someone, if they get hold of him and they're trying to do that, he will. And then you go back to Omar Yasika, who lost in the final round of qualifying, the reigning US Open singles and doubles champion. He's only 17, and you put 4 years on him, and it's not too much of a stretch to think that he's another Marcelo Rios. He's that talented. So that's the basis of a really good Davis Cup team. And we know what happened when Australia had a really good Davis Cup team. Leighton was winning Grand Slams. Pat Rafter, Mark
Philippoussis.
So it was, and the Woodies were there. You know, it was a great time for Australian tennis. And it's not too much of a stretch to think that we won't get back there soon.
Now, Leo, I've been talking to Ray this morning about Nick Kyrgios in particular, and just the, I don't know, I'm not a fan of the attitude. It frustrates me a little bit.
I love it, Leo. I think he's great for the sport.
I think he's very talented. And then we also say, we see a lot of, there's a lot of crowd pumping up, there's a lot of fist pumping, there's a lot of come ons and all that sort of stuff. Is that the best thing for their tennis?
It's the two views on it, and you guys obviously embody both of them. You know, one's for, one's against. And the counterpoint to all of that is Tanasi Kokkinakis, to me, has got a game that's going to be at least as good as
Kyrgios.
He's just got the most beautiful game. And on court, his coaches are at him to get fired up. And he sort of glides through. It doesn't mean he's no less determined or ambitious. He wants to win as much as anybody. But Nick, he's got it in his head that he can't play well unless he's pumped.
And he uses that crowd emotion like a wave, doesn't he?
He's a very emotional kid. He'll sit down and tell you that last year, the best year of his life when he had the big breakthrough, but a lot of it, he's in tears because he didn't know what was going on with his tennis, and he wants to get there so quickly. And I think that plays out sometimes in public. And it's worth remembering that 2 weeks before Wimbledon last year, He lost in the first round of the Challenger in Nottingham and wanted to get on the flight to come home. He was a total mess, and his then coach Simon Ray said, no, we're going to hang around for Wimbledon. He came out the next
week.
Look
what happened.
he won a Challenger, and out of that, that Challenger, he didn't know at the time, but the prize was a wild card into Wimbledon.
Mm.
And we all saw what happened.
Leo, today's Super Sunday. This is the fourth round clash has been waiting for. Bernd Tomic's up against the big serving Thomas Berdych, and Nick Kyrgios comes up against the man that Stewie calls the Federer Slayer, Andrea Seppi. Can the two Aussies get through to the quarters?
I think if we can get one through, it'd be great. If we can get two through, it'd just be incredible. Mm. Thomas Berdych, no one's worked harder than him in the off-season. You always hear players talking about that, but saw him up in Doha, and a couple of people who were with him during the off-season, and in fact, Leighton Hewitt and Pat Rafter and Nick Kyrgios spent a lot of time with him during the off-season when they played in the International Premier Tennis League for the Singapore Slammers. And he was hitting the gym up to three times a day, as well as practice and matches. And he had a taper week coming in. He hasn't dropped a set so far. So if Andre Agassi says that Thomas Berdych, not Roger Federer, is the best ball striker in the world, and this bloke's finally got himself fit and strong, that's a really big mountain for Bernard Tomic to climb. Tomic, having said that, he is rejuvenated. He's doing all the right things. He realizes that the kids are coming up underneath him. He's not going to have the lion's share of everything going on in Australian tennis, so he has to work, and he needs to, and he wants to. If he gets over the top of Thomas Berdych today, and Berdych is playing well, that tells you everything you need to know about what's in the future for him. In terms of Nick Kyrgios, when he beat Seppi at the US Open in September, he served out of this world. He's going to have to do that again, not have a letdown, and hope that Andreas is still thinking about that forehand he hit on match point against Roger.
Has Bernard Tomic been to the PR specialist and just changed his whole demeanour on the tennis court? You see him smiling. You saw, even when I think there was one point, there was a really memorable point, and he just lobbed it over the net in a sort of a drop, a half volley, and didn't carry on, just smiled and laughed. And the crowd seemed to be really engaging with Bernard.
I think there's been a part of him that even, you know, when his popularity was at its lowest, and, you know, we have to acknowledge that was never exclusively his fault. He was always trying, and I think he didn't really understand what it was to be professional, and he's understood now that, you know, you have to work really hard. And funnily enough, the one bloke I think he's teaching him more than anything else about professionalism and the public reaction to him is Leighton Hewitt. And Leighton, he went through that whole period of, you know, people appreciate him a lot more now than what they used to. Not that he really cared what people think, but I think Bernie's a bit different. I think it got to him a bit, and he's had some strange messages coming into his corner over the years. I think now he's playing with a clear head, and you see that in his tennis and his demeanour. He's actually enjoying it. There were times where he would trudge from side to side, and you think, well, do you really want to be out there? And I think he's made that decision that he wants to be a professional tennis player, and you can see that now in his tennis.
Leo, just finally, the big guns, Nadal, Djokovic, Murray, seem to be sailing through. They're on track. In the women's, as you mentioned, Serena, Maria Sharapova, after that early scare, has been in awesome form. Your tips for the men's and women's finals later next week?
It's funny, you talk about the scares that they have, and sometimes that really, you know, hardens them up, and Sharapova should have been beaten. She was down 5-1, and she dodged the bullet there. I think that she's going to go awfully close, but I think Simona Halep is the one that's just coming through quietly. Serena Williams wins the tournament if she decides that this is the most important thing to her in the next 5 days. And it's always been the way with her.
That's
and
a good
if she
point.
Doesn't get injured, she wins. But I think Halep can get over the top if there's some kind of glitch for her. On the women's side, on the men's side, I should say, Djokovic has just looked awesome the whole way through. Nadal, similarly, had the big scares, got through. He's going to be tough. And the quiet horse is Andy Murray. Mm. There's been no fanfare. It's just getting through. So I think the cream is going to come to the top on both the men's and women's side. The winners, I'd say at this stage, Djokovic, and I'm going to go for Halep.
Terrific.
All right. Thank you for that, Leo. Appreciate your time this morning. We look forward to the next week of Australian Open tennis, and hopefully the organisers get exactly what they want in some sort of massive matchup, Nadal v Djokovic or something like that.
That'd be fabulous. No worries, Steve.
Thanks, Leo. Great. See you, mate.
There he is, Leo Schlink, Daily Telegraph, one of your colleagues.
Yeah, works in the News Limited Group. been covering tennis for probably the best part of 25 years and also does Tour de France most years, and fantastic rider, great bloke, and he knows his tennis back to front.
Certainly does. Serena Williams, she's paying $3.25. Maria Sharapova's paying $4.50 in the women's, and in the men's, Novak Djokovic, he's come into $1.70. He was $2 before the tournament started. Obviously, now that he's through to the final stages, he's $1.70. Andy Murray, $5. Rafael Nadal is $7, and we saw a massive scare with him. He wasn't well on the court, but we saw,
as Leo just said, sometimes those early rounds, it galvanises those great players, and then they really start to, if they can get through that scare, which Nadal did as Sharapova did, away they go.
And I think because he hasn't played a lot of tennis, the more match practice 100%. He gets, the better. So certainly let's wait and see. Andy Murray, $5, and as I said, Rafael Nadal, $7. 1353-53 is the open line number, and we have Wombat on the line. Good morning, Wombat.
Good morning, Ray, Jimmy, Stu.
Morning, Wombat.
How you going, boys?
Terrific. Jimmy's not here, Wombat, but talk to him anyway.
We're down to two, Wombat, yeah.
All right. I was just listening with interest when you were talking to Andrew Siebel from New Zealand Bloodstock about the last the Beals going through the auction ring in New Zealand this week.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've got a really nice horse by Zafili's fair old Upbroken Pole, and he's in Sydney at St. Mary. Coolerman Park, Darley's old place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, mate, I'd love to see a few boys that are interested in looking at. I've got him up for sale on bloodstock.com.au.
Wombat, can we get you just to stand in a better spot? You've just dropped out a couple of times there. You there?
I think he's trying to see your horse, G.
Is that better? Are you there?
Yeah.
I can hear you now. I got the impression you were trying to sell me a horse.
Yeah, all your boys are talking about getting a hair or a leg or something in a horse, and I just sort of thought, well, there's an opportunity to give you boys a ring and just let you know that I've got a really nice two-year-old Zabil Unbroken, and he's out at Coolerman Park, which is Darley's old place. It's only 5 minutes off the M4 near St. Mary's.
Yes.
And he's a lovely bloke, and I think you'll be in the top echelon of three-year-olds next year.
Okay.
All right.
I tell you what, Wombat, I'll talk to Stewie off air. I'll see if I can convince him.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Wombat. Appreciate that.
I told you that happens,
I've gone from considering buying a horse to here's one for sale. We'll be back shortly. 1353-53 is the open line number.
For all the best in racing and the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via Mwillimbah, 1593 AM. Barnum, 94.9 FM. Collarenebri, 97.1 FM. And Grafton, 101.5 FM.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet trucks, stackers and order pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy's range of products include Coco Joy coconut milk. It really packs a punch in classic chocolate, coffee and banana flavours without the dairy. And it's gluten, soy and lactose free. Then there's Coco Joy 100% coconut water and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new album from O'Shea, The Famine and the Feast. There's Garth Brooks' album, Man Against Machine. Carrie Underwood's greatest hits, decade number one. And new albums from Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Trisha Yearwood and the Doobie Brothers. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
on Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Oh, the Asian Cup, it rolls on. The A-League's kicked off again, and one man that, well, he doesn't sleep. He just watches football. He's our man. He's Sky Sports Radio's Mr. Soccer, Andy Pascalidis, on the line. Morning, Andy.
Hello, Stuart. Hello, Ray.
Morning, Andy.
Tell you what, I'm not getting much sleep. You're 100% right. I'm even watching Spanish football at the moment.
Asian Cup 2015. Matthew Leckie says he'll be fit, ready to go against the United Arab Emirates in Newcastle.
And it's going to be interesting what Ange does. Does he change that starting 11 again? I mean, he had seven alterations for the quarter final. All the players are fit, ready to go. Someone actually joked with me yesterday. Do you think Tim will get a start again? I think Tim.
First bloke picked, I would have thought, Andy.
I think that'll be the first name. In fact, if Ange could write out 11 Tim Cahill, he's very, very happy. But look, we are favourites. We're playing a side that many didn't expect us to play. Does it change the landscape? No, the job has to be done. The job for Ange Postecoglou pre-World Cup, he was actually gearing for the Asian Cup. There was the transition. Mm. He said, look, don't raise your expectation levels high at Brazil. And you know what? We played some good football there but didn't get the results we would have liked. But he's achieving now, so good luck to him.
Yeah, Andy, good morning. We were talking the very same thing with David Gallop earlier, that it took a little while for the team, once for Ange to actually concentrate on getting his team that he wanted, playing his style of football, and it's an attractive style, isn't it? And it's really bringing people back to the sport. And the TV numbers, like I understand there was it, Stewie, 95 million in China watched?
That's right. Yeah.
So you can imagine what, I think it's a real impetus growing behind football in Australia at the moment.
Oh, there is, and there's all this talk about Tim Cahill, the greatest socceroo and possibly the greatest Australian sportsman. Did some homework this morning just to give you some quick stats on Cahill, what he means to the team, what he means to the country. 39 goals in 80 appearances. His strike rate is just under 49%. Alan Shearer, his goals for England came at 47%. Ronaldo's 52 goals for Portugal at 44%. Messi has scored 45 times for Argentina at 46.9%. So Cahill's
strike rate
at international level is better than some of the all-time greats already. Incredible.
It certainly is, and every time you watch it, you know they're going to kick the ball to him. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about Japan and when we were going to play them. Well, Andy, we're not going to play them, and they're out. I'd imagine the coach is under some sort of pressure now?
He's under pressure on many quarters because he's embroiled in that match-fixing scandal out of Spain when he was coaching over there. So he's denying that he was involved in a situation where an opposing side to the side that he coached were paid just over $1.2 million. But Japan FA, before they flew out, said they're certain to retain his services. But this is the first time they're knocked out at this stage of the competition in over 20 years, so there'll be a lot of questions asked.
Andy, semi-finals. Can Australia get by UAE? And if so, who do we play in the final?
I think they can get past UAE on Australia Day. Korea host Iraq, of course. That'll be an interesting battle. You know what? I'm going to go for the smoky. I'm stick my neck out and go for Iraq to cause an upset. You know that Iraq actually beat the Korean Republic in the semi-finals in 2007. On penalties, actually, en route to winning the final against Saudi Arabia. So they know what it's like to play at this end of the competition, and who knows?
Now, we saw FA Cup results last night. Man
Always
City out,
Stewie.
Chelsea
Always.
Out. Liverpool had a draw against Bolton. Shocks in the FA Cup.
It's crazy, Stuart, but we always expect shocks. $15 Bradford played, six in League One to go to Stamford Bridge and win 4-2. Middlesbrough went to Manchester City. First time Man City have lost home games in succession in 3 years. 2-0. The league championship side that is pressing for promotion, paying, I think, $9 for the win. Bolton go to Anfield and come out with a draw. Tottenham crashed 2-1 at home to Leicester. It's just crazy. And Swansea fell at Blackburn 3-1.
And three Premier League sides in action tonight, Andy?
There is. And Bristol City are hosting West Ham. They're in League One. Aston Villa against Bournemouth, they're a league championship side doing extremely well. They should win promotion. And Brighton are taking on Arsenal as ranked outsiders at $6. But is there going to be a smoky in there? I reckon Bournemouth could be the smoky.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been that round. And obviously A-League kicked off. Adelaide United, seven goals against the Jets, and Sydney FC 5 against the Central Coast Mariners, and Perth Glory v Melbourne Victory
big
today.
Big game today.
Crazy, guys. Absolutely crazy. Adelaide consolidating second position with that huge win. Sydney FC, Graham Arnold returns to the Central Coast. The body language between Arnold and his old mate Thomas wasn't the best post-match. That's on the back of that little advertisement.
I thought it was over the top, to be fair, Andy. Didn't like it. I thought it was over the top.
Yeah, you know, okay, he's gone to the bigger club, but, geez, he achieved a lot at the Central Coast.
So
I'm sure they don't forget that, and the loyal fans wouldn't forget that. But, you know, talking about fans, crowds are unbelievable, over 12,000 there, just under 11 in Adelaide. So today they'll break 1 million. The 1 million mark will be broken, with Perth expected to beat Melbourne Victory. So
you're going that way, tip-wise?
I'll go for Perth Glory. I don't see 6 or 7 goals coming in this game, though.
Andy, we're coming up towards the 9 o'clock news. Just quickly, Sydney FC, their first win in 8 matches. Are they back?
Good question. Let's wait till the next couple of rounds unfold, because the Mariners aren't playing great football at the moment. As you know, they're languishing.
The defence was terrible last night, wasn't it?
So let's wait for another couple of weeks, but it was very promising to see Yanko score a couple as well.
Certainly was. All right, Andy, we'll leave you to it. Thank you for that, and we'll speak again next week.
Yeah, have a great Australia Day tomorrow. I'll be off to Forbes to celebrate later today.
Good on you, Andy.
Andy Pascoe is Sky Sports Radio's Mr. Soccer. He's tipping Perth Glory at $2.25 to beat the Melbourne Victory.
That's a big game today, Stewie.
At 3 o'clock, the draw paying $3.40. After the 9 o'clock news, we're going to talk to Nathan Byrne, Socceroo. He was good. Mark Waugh, Trent Langschool from TAB.com. And your calls leading up to 10 o'clock, the extra hour, the bonus hour of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition.
Minister Shinzo Abe has voiced his anger at the release of a video purporting to show a Japanese hostage murdered by Islamic State militants. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is in Tokyo.
News that one of the Japanese hostages being held by Islamic State may have been killed came in the form of an audio tape and a picture. In it, Islamic State claims to have killed one of the hostages, Haruna Yukawa. At the moment, the Japanese government says it is unable to verify the claim, but it immediately demanded the release of the other Japanese hostage, Kenji Goto. A video was released on Tuesday showing Kenji Goto and Haruna Yukawa kneeling in the desert in orange jumpsuits. In the video, Islamic State says the two hostages would be killed within 72 hours unless the Japanese government paid a ransom of $200 million.
U.S. police are searching two planes at Atlanta's main airport after authorities received what they're describing as credible bomb threats. Pete Combs is there.
The threats were phoned in on two different flights from two different cities on two different airlines. The Delta flight from Portland, Oregon, landed about an hour and 20 minutes late. It was being swept by police for bomb materials, and the passengers were being screened and returned to the terminal.
Three men are in hospital after two separate stabbing incidents across Sydney. A 40-year-old man was knifed while trying to break up a brawl at Mount Annan in the city's southwest early this morning. In another case, three men were stabbed during a fight in Carlingford, but only two of them have needed hospital treatment. Police have added a major drug dealer to the state's most wanted list after he failed to appear in court on 27 charges. 40-year-old Darren Rispin's accused of supplying and possessing illegal drugs, as well as organising a criminal group and dealing in the proceeds of crime. Joanne Elliott from police headquarters says he was arrested last month and granted bail.
It was in April last year that detectives from the Middle Eastern Organised Crime Squad launched an investigation into drug supply by a criminal syndicate, following extensive investigations and the seizure of a large quantity of drugs from properties in Sydney's west.
The Premier is promising to trial cutting-edge shark-detecting technology at the state's beaches. It's Mike Baird's first election policy commitment, pledging to improve protection for swimmers with the $100,000 test at popular beach spots. But he says there'll be no culling of sharks in New South Wales. Drink in moderation is the message from police ahead of Australia Day. An extra 1,300 officers will saturate Sydney ahead of Monday's celebrations. Acting Deputy Commissioner Frank Manilli is encouraging people to have a good time, but stay safe.
We encourage people that if you want to have a drink, do it in moderation. We encourage people, if you want a drink, don't drive.
In other news, Labor will return Goat Island to the Aboriginal people of New South Wales if it comes to power in March, and the state government will prop up a pensioner concession scheme for another 3 years after the federal government withdrew millions of dollars of funding from it. In sport, Bernard Tomic and Nick Kyrgios will be seeking to break a decade-long drought and make it into the quarterfinals of the Australian Open when they face their fourth-round test today. Tomic is the third match of the day, while Kyrgios won't start until later tonight. A local hope hasn't reached the men's singles quarterfinals of the tournament since Leighton Hewitt's run to the 2005 final. Rafael Nadal and Andy Murray are also on court today. The Sydney Sixers have stunned the Adelaide Strikers with an 87-run win to make it into the Big Bash League final. Sydney will play the winner of today's fixture between the Perth Scorchers and Melbourne Stars. Sydney Sixers skipper Moses Henriques has told 10 he's comfortable with their performance this competition.
Well, I don't think we've been that bad. We haven't played as well as we'd like to see us play, but you know, we've got just as many wins as the other teams at this stage, so we're still competing well and staying in the contest.
Shane Watson and David Warner are expected to return to the Australian side for tomorrow's ODI tri-series clash with India at the SCG, and Sydney FC have defeated Central Coast 5-1, ending their mid-season A-League drought. This is Macquarie National News. It's 9:04.
Sky Sports Radio Sydney weather.
The chance of afternoon showers and a storm today, tops of 35 degrees in the city, 36 in the west, drizzle tomorrow for Australia Day. Right now in town it's 22 degrees, humidity is 90%, winds are from the west-northwest at 4 kilometres an hour, it's 21 at Bankstown.
The latest on the traffic for Rizzy, Rail Industry Safety Induction.
Want to get started in the rail industry? It pays well, there's lots of work and it's safe. First you need your Rail Industry Safety Induction card. Go to rizzy.com.au.
And the police operation in Normanhurst and Carlingford, the highway patrol cars have left the Penatillis Road area. Now at Chatswood, Pacific Highway and Albert Street, damaged tidal flow infrastructure. You're being asked to keep to the left in Bondi Junction, and the lights flashing yellow, Oxford Street and Newland Street. They're also flashing yellow at Darlinghurst, Crown and Stanley Streets as well. Celebrating Australia Day is easy with IGA. Head in store and take advantage of specials like this. Doritos corn chips now half price at IGA. That's latest traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
It's time to land a better deal at Landa Toyota. It's time to grab a great deal on the unbreakable Hilux SR5 turbo diesel dual cab. It's time to experience Landa Toyota's famous customer service. And it's time to grab a better deal right now at Landa Toyota. Hilux SR5 manual from $47,990 drive away. So make time to come and see us today. You'll always land a better deal at Landa Toyota. Visit landatoyota.com.au.
Cab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit some of our most exciting regional destinations.
Orange's turn to saddle up is on Sunday, February 15. Racing Orange's Family Fun Day will be a fantastic day out for everyone. Free entertainment includes jumping castles, pony rides, face painting, plus fashions on the field and more. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing World have the mounting yard covered at Orange, Sunday, February 15.
For more on TAB Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
Big Rebecca throws a dummy, gets rid of one. Redell Soho, clear run to the line. Can he get away from him? Soho, 5 metres, 3 metres, over! What a try!
And here comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. Blake gets the silver. Oh, he's returned his title in the most emphatic way.
Rochelle to curl it. Kennedy! Cue delirium in Sydney. Australia have done it. Brazil.
Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Stuart Clark.
Welcome back to the program, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. This is the bonus hour, is what I like to call it. We're not really supposed to be on, but it's just an extra hour that we're throwing in for free. Me and Ray, Tanya, Jeremy.
I've still got you negotiating on our behalf, Stu.
Don't expect a lot. This is the bonus hour. We've got Nathan Burns coming up shortly, but a couple of SMSs come in, 0419 767 272, which is 0419-SMS-BSB if you want to send an SMS to the program. Stu, the start of Jimmy's downfall was the segment 2 minutes of rugby league. 2 minutes too much. How long before you and Ray start to slag each other off? Now, I like Ray.
We're mates. Okay. Yeah.
It's Kiwi Jim. Relieved he's gone. Well, Kiwi Jim, he'll be back. Don't worry. He will be back. And you won't get 2 minutes of rugby league. You get 180 minutes minus the news and the other bits and pieces that we take out to make some revenue on this show. There's another SMS here. Hey, boys. I would like to just congratulate Hugh Bowman. Don't know what for. I'm riding all seconds in the quaddie.
Yeah, four straight seconds. He had the last two on the favourites, Stewie. That's probably why this poor guy's upset. He was riding That's a Good Idea in the second last leg, and Harrier Jet in the last. Both favourites, both got beaten, and obviously it's cost this bloke a fair bit in the quaddie.
It cost me plenty. look, if I see Hugh, I'll pass it on. But other than that, bad luck. I don't really know what to say to you.
No, he did his best. So the horse was beaten fair and square.
Yeah, so. Coming up, Nathan Burns.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Just having a little bit of trouble getting hold of Nathan at the moment. We'll get a hold of him in a second. Just running through some of the results. If you haven't heard, the Sixers beat the Adelaide Strikers in the Big Bash last night. The Sixers scored plenty of runs. Nick Maddison ended up scoring 85 off 48 balls, and the Sixers ended up with 4 for 184. Strikers all out. They tried hard, but they lost a couple of early wickets. All out for 94 and 14.3. The Scorchers take on the Stars tonight, and tomorrow the Australians take on India in the Australia Day clash at the SCG.
Just a quick one, Stu. The Australians get themselves up for that. They're 3-0. They're into the final. It's a meaningless game, except it's part of an important tournament and a lead-up to the World Cup.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because they've played, so they've given guys a rest and things like that. I think that the mantra within the team at the moment would be, we need to win and we need to start creating momentum. So every game is extremely important.
You're so confident, mate,
yeah,
too, aren't
and
they?
You go in, and you can't beat confidence in sport. Like, you've got to believe you're good enough. So from my point of view, I think there'll be that people may say they're complacent, but they're not complacent. They're ready to go.
Hopefully the Australian Socceroos aren't complacent, because they've had a terrific march through the tournament so far. This is such a huge game for the sport, isn't it, on Tuesday night against UAE. If it's an Asian Cup final out of Australia, it won't have quite that impact. But the Australians, Stewie, they're on song. They're certainly heading the right direction. They'll start hot favourites on Tuesday night.
They certainly will. We've got Nathan Burns on the line from the inside the Socceroos camp. Good morning, Nathan.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good morning.
Must be looking forward. United Arab Emirates, Tuesday, 8 p.m. in Newcastle. Preparations will be going along hopefully well, and it's a massive game for the Socceroos.
Yeah, I think it's a massive game. I think it's a massive game for the whole country. Our code has really been doing pretty well this last couple of months. So I think if we can get to a final, obviously we try not to look too far ahead, but yeah, if we can get to that final, it's going to be enormous, and people around even Newcastle now are pretty excited. There's a bit of a buzz feeling, so Yeah, we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, it's going to be an absolutely packed house and an amazing atmosphere at Newcastle on Tuesday night. The feeling within the camp, Nathan, there seems to be a real momentum with the Socceroos this campaign.
Yeah, well, with any sport, I heard you speaking before about momentum and confidence. I think it plays a massive role, but also our coach has given us the confidence the last couple of weeks. He really believes in the style and football that we're playing. The first couple of games, a lot of media were saying maybe we're going too hard, we're pressing too hard at times, going to have to sit off. But he said from day one he backs his players. And
it's great to watch, Nathan. Yeah,
he believes that we can go all the way, and just the style of football, he thinks he wouldn't change any players from other teams. So I think it really gives a lot of belief to the players in the squad.
Now, we saw Japan get beaten the other night. So did the team get together and watch that match?
Yeah, we all watched it individually in our rooms, but it was pretty good. I think the whole day of football was amazing. I think it was great for the league, for the tournament. One of those games, I'm glad it wasn't us, but I think it was great for, the spectators to watch such an amazing both games.
I remember when I was playing cricket that when a match like that happens and one of the favourites got knocked out or got beaten, there'd be a lot of discussion. As soon as the match finished, everyone would come out in the corridors. And was there any of that sort of after the game, people standing in corridors thinking, oh, did you see that? Did you go here? What about that? And, then start predicting what's going to happen?
Oh, not too much. We try not to think too far ahead. But, we're all pretty excited. But we're pretty aware that, the favourites got knocked out. And if you're very complacent in this tournament, you could lose at any stage. So, it's a good eye-opening that, we got to see that happen to Japan, because we know that we can't be complacent against UAE because we've seen their qualities.
Nathan, probably a difficult question for you to answer. The Socceroos got an extra day's rest, and then you were able to watch UAE go into extra time, an extra 30 minutes, and then into the penalty shootout. Does that impact UAE's preparation at all going into Tuesday night?
I think they're professional. They'll be right. They'll be able to recover and be up for the game. It didn't hurt our situation. It's a good thing. I didn't really mind who won or lost the game against Japan. But to go to extra time, I really thought that was the best part. definitely it's harder, but I'm sure when it comes to a semi-final, their players are going to be recovered enough for it. As I said, we can't be complacent and think they're going to be tired. We've got to go out there thinking they're 100%. They're the team that beat Japan, and we have to start from the first 5 minutes.
Now, we've seen through this tournament, Ange Postecoglou keeps his cards very close to his chest with the starting lineup. Can you give us any insight into a potential team?
I wouldn't have a clue. We had a meeting yesterday just saying that, everyone's played their role in the team. If you come on for 5 minutes, if you haven't played, everyone's important, and it's more than the individual at the moment, because the team, if the team is very successful, then we'll win as a team. And I think everyone is playing a role at the moment, and I think even if he picks a different starting 11 than the previous game, then I'm sure they'll come in and do a job, because everyone's really focused and concentrated. But yeah, there could be some changes. It could be the same. I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest.
Nathan, UAE, your opponents on Tuesday night, I know Japan dominated them possession-wise, etc., but UAE's defensive structure, very well organised. Can the Socceroos break that down?
I think so. We have a high pressing game that lasts the whole 90 minutes. So I think that's what we're going to push for, and eventually teams are going to crack. And obviously, if we can score an early goal, I think they have to come after us. So as you've seen in the last couple of games, if we can get one early, then they really have to chase us, and then the cracks start opening up.
Yeah.
So important that we get out there and put pressure for the first 20.
We've seen the A-League kick off again, Sydney FC last night and Adelaide. You'll go back to Wellington. Is it going to be difficult in some extents with the euphoria that's been around this Asian Cup going back to just club football?
I don't think so. You could see from the other night, I think everyone was watching the Asian Cup, and then they were just itching to get out and start playing again.
Sure.
The 3 weeks off. So I think that Adelaide and Sydney were on fire, absolutely dominated. So you know, it's a great league at the moment. There's so many goals, and, you know, I've seen everyone scoring last night, and I was like, these guys better slow down, man. They're starting to catch up to me. So, yeah, definitely. Now I'm always excited to get back to club football.
All right, Nathan, good luck on Tuesday night against the United Arab Emirates. It'll be a massive game. The whole of Australia will be watching, and to be fair, the Socceroos have certainly captured the imagination, I think, of most people in this country.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for your support, everyone. And, yeah, it should be a cracker.
Good luck, Nathan.
There he is, Nathan Burns, Socceroo. Hopefully he gets a start. He's played a couple of times, been on the bench a couple of times. Australia paying $1.40 against the United Arab Emirates. They're paying $7.50, and the draw, it's paying $4.50.
Now, a Sky Sports Radio racing morning goes that extra mile. Racing HQ, TAB Sports Talk, Racing Previews, Going Greyhounds, On the Pace. Thursdays at 10:30, Chinwag with Sean Cosgrove. And at 10:30 Fridays, the early information for Saturday's feature race day. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
This is what it feels like.
Stand by. Stalls are back and racing.
For the most comprehensive wrap of all the weekend's racing, don't miss Punters Postmortem. Expert analysis, the ones to follow. Punters Postmortem with TK, Dino and the Duff. Monday mornings at 9, brought to you by TAB on Sky Sports Radio.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Everyone loves the skill and excitement of the EPL and A-League, but no one loves a nil-all draw. That's why at the TAB, we've decided that if you have a correct score bet on any EPL or A-League clash this season and the game ends nil-all, we'll refund your bet in full. That's right, if the game ends in a nil-all draw, we'll refund your bet. Get on at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new album from O'Shea, The Famine and the Feast. There's Garth Brooks' album, Man Against Machine. Carrie Underwood's greatest hits, decade number one. And new albums from Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Trisha Yearwood and the Doobie Brothers. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
All right, time to get the latest prices from Trent Langscale from tab.com.au. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, Stuart.
What's going on? The Australian Open must be plenty of money being placed on, well, the Australians, but also the big names.
Yes, there's plenty of big names today, and we'll start with the Australians, though. There are two of them left in action in the men's singles. So not before 3 o'clock this afternoon at Margaret Court Arena, Bernard Tomic is a $3.50 chance against Thomas Berdych at $1.30. And not before 6:15 this evening, it's at Hisense Arena, Nick Kyrgios $1.72 against Andreas Seppi, who caused the biggest boil over of the tournament so far, beating Roger Federer a couple of days ago at $2.10. The Rod Laver Arena day matches, Eugenie Bouchard first up at 11 o'clock this morning, $1.12 against Arena Camelia Begu at $5.75. Then Maria Sharapova $1.11 against Peng Shui, and Rafael Nadal $1.28 against Kevin Anderson.
Trent, the tennis is terrific, but so is the big bash. I can't wait for tonight's game, Scorchers versus the Stars. Trent?
And it was an absolute ripper a few nights ago, Ray, the Melbourne Stars. Peter Hanscom getting the unbeaten century and getting the Stars across the line. So the Perth Scorchers and the Melbourne Stars. The bookies can't separate them. They're $1.90 each of two. It's a 7:10 start at the Wacker Ground in Perth. It's dubbed the Furnace during the Big Bash. And, of course, the Sydney Sixers, they'll be just patiently waiting after what occurred last night, a comprehensive win against the Adelaide Strikers. pity for the Strikers. It was their worst match of the Big Bash, and it was the one that they've got knocked out of. So the Sydney Sixers now sitting and waiting. They're the $2.15 favourites, with the Perth Scorchers and the Melbourne Stars at $3.25, and the final coming up on Wednesday night at Manuka Oval.
And you've got plenty of soccer going on. You've got Asian Cup, you've got FA Cup, you've got A-League. There's plenty going on.
There is, too. We'll have a look at the A-League, the match that's on this evening, 8 o'clock in Perth. The Glory, $2.25 favourites, at home to Melbourne Victory at $3, and the draw at $3.40. You've touched on with Andy this morning all the shocks in the fourth round of the FA Cup overnight. West Ham's $1.90 away to Bristol City. Aston Villa, $2.35 at home to Bournemouth. And Arsenal, $1.50 away to Brighton and Hove Albion. Those matches kick off from 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And in the Asian Cup semi-finals, the normal time result betting tomorrow night semi-final at ANZ Stadium. South Korea, $1.60 favourites in normal time against Iraq. And then Tuesday night in Newcastle, Australia, $1.40 in normal time against the United Arab Emirates. But fellas, as you know, there's plenty on, so to check out all of the markets, you can head to tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. You have a good weekend.
Same to yourself, boys.
Thanks, Trent.
There you are, Trent Langscar from tab.com.au, with all the prices, including tennis, cricket and soccer.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, he was at the game last night at the Adelaide Oval, with the mighty Sydney Sixers defeated the Adelaide Strikers. Adelaide have been the best team all year on paper, but on the big game, they unfortunately didn't put in their best performance. He joins us on the line, Mark Waugh. Good morning.
G'day, Stewie. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Morning, Mark.
What a game last night. The Sixers unfortunately dominated, and the Strikers, well, I think the pressure may have got to them in the second innings.
Yeah, look, I think that's the nature of T20 cricket. It's all on the night. If you get someone who performs really well on a given day, they can win the game for their side. Nick Maddison was brilliant last night. His 80-odd set up the game for the Sixers. Then their bowling was very good. Their tactics were really good as well. Their execution, excellent. Pretty good all-round performance by the Sixers. The Strikers, their worst game of the season, unfortunately, in front of 52,000 people. So disappointing for them, but it was great to see such a big crowd there.
It was a massive crowd. The Sixers changed it up a little bit. Probably, I don't know if the Strikers were surprised, but certainly change of bowling tactics and batting tactics.
Yeah, well, smart batting tactics, because obviously with Johan Botha and Kane Richardson opening the bowling for the Strikers, you know, they're pretty tough for the left-hander. So they sent Ricky Wessels in to open. You know, they got off to a good start. Lum and Wessels batted well, but then Maddison paced his innings really well. And then with the ball, the Sixers, they all performed well. All their bowlers were good. Abbott, Bollinger, Nathan Lyon, got a bit of spin out of the pitch, so did Stephen O'Keefe. So that'll make them, you know, pretty hard to beat in the final in Canberra. Whether they play the Scorchers or the Stars, we'll have to wait and see, but the Sixers will be hard to beat.
What's your thoughts about tonight's game, Mark?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a toss-up, Ray. I really can't be confident either way. You know, the Stars run a bit of a roll, aren't they? They've won five in a row, and they're starting to look pretty dangerous. But having said that, the Scorchers have been good all season. Their bowling's been really good, with Berendorf and Hogg sort of leading the way there. Their batting's been a little bit hit and miss, but Kling has been good at the top of the order. If I'd have to have a bet, I'd say the Stars, but not with any great confidence.
Fair enough. Mark, the Big Bash itself has become a phenomenon. I love the concept, but it's also it's a platform for players who probably aren't household names to become noticed, I guess, by people like yourself as a national selector. Just in the last three matches, Hanscom's played an unbelievable knock for the Stars. Jordan Silk the other night was fantastic. Then last night, Nick Maddison really stepped up. It's a platform for these younger players to really start to make their mark, Mark.
Yeah, exactly right. You're spot on there, Ray. It's obviously great coverage for the players with the crowds at the game and then the TV audience at home as well. So, you know, players that probably wouldn't get much recognition normally, if they walk down the street now, people will know who they are. And obviously the selectors, you know, every game's on TV, so, you know, you get a good look at the players. But you're right, Jordan Silk's probably been one player that surprised everybody. Might have even surprised himself, I think. He's sort of been known as a bit of a dour sort of player, you know, very good, level-headed young guy, but didn't really have those repertoire of shots, so it'll probably give him confidence in four-day cricket as well. And Nick Maddison, we know how good he is. And you're right, Peter Hampson, he's been injured most of the season, but he's a very promising young player. So, you know, they're the sort of guys that all of a sudden jump out of the ground with that exposure.
You mentioned Jordan Silk there, and I was at the game on Friday, Wednesday night, or whatever it was. And I said to a few people, I think that's the best catch I've ever seen, Jordan Silk. Yeah. I know he took a great catch last year. I know there've been a lot of great catches over the years, but to do what he did and the distance he ran to dive full length and catch it, I think it's the best catch I've ever seen.
Well, I was commentating at the time, and I said it was better than his catch last year, and it is one of the greatest catches you'll see. Those high balls, it was hit so high and he had to run basically at full speed. And then he had Stephen O'Keefe sort of running towards him, so that probably was in the corner of his eye as well. And then, you know, to hold onto it with the pressure of the ball coming down from such a height and speed he was, you know, running, and to get underneath it and catch it cleanly was an amazing catch. He's a brilliant young fieldsman. Ricky Ponting said he's the best fieldsman in Australia for the last couple of years, so... yeah, that was unbelievable. Actually, the catching throughout the tournament's been probably
fantastic,
one of the highlights.
Great
catches, particularly on the boundary ropes, where I've seen a lot of players juggle the ball and throw it back into the field of play. So, you know, that's what you see in 2020 cricket. You know, people say, it's not real cricket, but there's so many skills that come out in it, and that's why it's great to watch.
Yeah, the skill sets are amazing. Mark, if I can ask you, put on your other hat as a national selector, the national team is really going great guns. It's been a terrific summer so far. I put this to Stewie before, that the match tomorrow, is it a danger game for Australia, given that, I hate using that term, Mark, a dead rubber, but they're 3-0, they're into the final, they've chopped and changed their team a little bit to give guys a run. Is tomorrow's match a danger game against India at the SCG?
Oh, look, I think every game's a danger game, to be honest, Ray. I don't think it's a dead rubber, yes, but everyone's playing for Australia. It's Australia Day. I think the players, once they get out there on the field with that, you know, the badge on their shirt, they're focused on the game. I don't think they care whether it's a dead rubber or they've won 5 in a row or lost 5 in a row. So I don't think it'll be an issue. And, you know, you've got to look at the personal incentives for players. You know, guys like Glenn Maxwell, George Bailey, who have been a little bit out of form, Pat Cummins, those sorts of guys, it's a great opportunity to get back into form before the World Cup. So there's a lot to play for the individuals, you know, leading into the World Cup. And, you know, you're playing international, so I don't think it'll be a problem, Ray, but I expect it to be a tough game. India, you know, they're a very good side, so the conditions will probably suit them. You know, the pitch here, actually, I'm just about to have a look at the pitch now on my way home, you know, could favour sort of spin. So, you know, the conditions are going to be pretty good for both sides. But, you know, I think Australia will be fired up. They've been going well. There's a couple of players who are, you know, would like to perform well tomorrow, so... Yeah, plenty to play for.
Mm. All right, we're going to take your cricket hat off now. Put the husband of a horse trainer's hat on.
I've got a few hats, haven't I?
Yeah, a lot of hats in your closet. Any good runners coming up?
Well, we've got three today at Wyong. So they're all actually resuming from a spell. But, I'd say Recife Beach will run well in race six. And Shenyan, he'll be running home hard. The top weight in that last race will be hard to beat, Peter Snowden. Horse Snippets Lamb, but I expect Shenyan to run a really good race. Might be a good Quinella there. And then tomorrow at Canterbury, we've got three runners in, and they're all very good chances.
They're winning chances. Mark, it's a tough one for you. Canterbury or the SCG, what do you do?
It would be nice to combine both. I think Supreme Effort will be hard to beat tomorrow, and Harry Hotspur and Oxford Heart, if they get a bit of luck from wide barriers, they should be in the finish as well.
Absolutely,
You never know. Hopefully it will be a big couple of days.
All right, Junior, thank you for that. I'm sure I'll catch you at the cricket tomorrow, sitting in the media centre there watching, and we might turn the races on when we get a little bit bored of watching the cricket, eh?
Yeah, righto, boys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Mark.
There he is, Mark Waugh, Australian Select, Big Bash commentator, the governor of the Thunder, also very much involved with his wife, Kim, in their stables up there at Gosford. So plenty going on in the world of cricket, but for Mark Waugh, he's a busy, busy man.
Sky Sports Radio is your racing and sports leader.
This is what it feels like.
Every morning at 10 o'clock, get all the latest info on local and international sport. Cricket, tennis, soccer, rugby and lots more. It's all on Tab Sports Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This is what it feels like.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water, naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy Kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new album from O'Shea, The Famine and the Feast. There's Garth Brooks' album, Man Against Machine. Carrie Underwood's greatest hits, decade number one. And new albums from Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Trisha Yearwood and the Doobie Brothers. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Warners Bay Hotel, the hub of hospitality in the Lake Macquarie District, has added another dynamic dimension to its customer-friendly services. Now there's a state-of-the-art tab facility, including more than 20 dedicated tab screens, 5 betting terminals, 7 electronic form panels, as well as indoor and outdoor wagering facilities. A punter's delight. Join Miracle Mal Johnson Saturday, January 31st for the launch of the Warners Bay Hotel's exciting new tab. You'll be hands-on to approve.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
13 53 53 is the open line number. Taking your calls. Look, we've got a quiz coming up as well. We haven't mentioned it, but there's a quiz coming up. So if you like a quiz, don't call now. We'll let you know when, but we haven't
pretty soon.
We haven't thrown the quiz out the window. The other thing we haven't got rid of on this show, we've changed the format up, is a sports update with Tanya.
Thankfully.
So now, let's go to a sports update with Tanya.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya White.
Super Sunday at the Australian Tennis Open with two of our best in action. Nick Kyrgios plays Andre Seppi and Bernard Tomic is against Thomas Berdych, both looking for a place in the quarterfinals. A tough task for both, with Seppi being the one that knocked out Roger Federer and Berdych, the current world number 7. Also in action today, Maria Sharapova, Rafael Nadal, Andy Murray, Eugenie Bouchard and Simona Halep. Last night, a straight sets win for Novak Djokovic over Fernando Verdasco. David Ferrer beat Gilles Simon. And in an upset, American teenager Madeline and Keys swept aside the fourth seed, Petra Kvitova, 6-4, 7-5. The Sydney Sixers are the first team through to the Big Bash final on Wednesday night. It was a one-sided semi last night against Adelaide in front of a record 52,000 at the Adelaide Oval. The Sixers posted 4-for-181, helped along by Nick Maddison with 85 off 48 balls, and then the Strikers capitulated all out for just 94. Tonight, Perth hosts the second semi against the Melbourne Stars. Adelaide sent out a warning to all league clubs with a 7-0 thrashing of Newcastle in last night's game at Cooper's Stadium. It was the Reds' biggest victory in 4 years and puts them in second place. While an equally spectacular win for Sydney over the Central Coast, 5-1 in Gosford, it was Sky Blues coach Graham Arnold's first time back to the Central Coast's home ground since he left the Mariners. Today, Perth host Melbourne Victory. A couple of upsets in fourth round FA Cup overnight. League One side Bradford knocked out Chelsea. They won away 4-2. Manchester City knocked out by Middlesbrough, also winning away 2-0. In other results, Blackburn 3, Swansea 1, Birmingham 1, West Brom 2, Cardiff 1, Reading 2, Derby 2-0 over Chesterfield, Preston North End and Sheffield United 1 all, Southampton 2, Crystal Palace 3, Sunderland and Fulham 0 all, Tottenham 1, Leicester 2, Liverpool and Bolton 0 all. Round three of the PGA Tour event in California this morning, and it's an All-American leaderboard. Matt Kuchar leads at 18 under. He's one ahead of Eric Compton, Bill Haas and Michael Putnam, while Ryan Palmer, who shot that 61 yesterday, is at 16 under. The Tour Down Under wraps up today with the final stage. South Australian Rowan Dennis holds a two-second lead over Richie Porte. Today's race marks the end of the last World Tour race for Cadel Evans. He's currently in third place and he'll retire from professional cycling on February 1. And Hardline is favourite for today's $1 million race at Ellerslie in New Zealand. The Karaka Million over 1,200 metres is scheduled for 5:20. And how about this, boys? Not always easy to create a new record in the NBA these days, but Golden State's Klay Thompson scored 37 points in one quarter in the match against Sacramento. He finished up with 52 for the match.
Pretty extraordinary. Impressive. Wilt Chamberlain once scored over 100 points in an NBA game.
Yeah.
Wilt the Stilt.
Wilt the Stilt. Yeah. Holy Toledo.
Well, why do they call him the Stilt?
He's about 7'8" or something. So.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, probably all.
Just quickly, a Czech cyclist, Roman Kruziga. He's accused of doping over anomalies in his biological passport. On Saturday, he said that he's passed a lie detector test in a bid to clear his name. He's facing a 2 to 4 year ban and a $1 million fine for doping charges, which dated back to March 2011 to April 2012 when he was riding for Astana. Now, he went and had this lie detector test in Prague. He passed. He answered three questions. Have you taken doping products? Have you used blood transfusions to improve your performance? And have you taken EPO? He said no, obviously, to all of them. Whether that's...
I think it'd be easy to pass a lie detector test and a positive drug.
Isn't that why they have blood passports, so that you can't get a lie detector test? Mm.
But interestingly enough, Tyler Hamilton, who wrote that great book, one of the best sporting books I've ever read, The Secret Race, when he was writing for US Postal, he was one of the writers that came out and just opened up the can of worms.
He was the first to come out, wasn't he, really?
No, he wasn't the first.
Against Lance?
He was the second one, actually. And he said that back in the day that they would search Google for ways to beat lie detector tests. That says it all, doesn't it?
If you can't find anything, where do you look?
Google.
Apparently, to beat lie detector tests, that's on Google too. Thank you, Tanya. Appreciate that. And you'll be back every week. It's not. This is just not because it's the extra bonus hour. It's every week. We'll have you on, won't we?
Evidently, yes. We'll see next week.
Not in your contract either. Right, we'll get to... That's another
We're
thing
negotiating
to add.
On all our behalf now.
Another thing to add to the list. 1353 53 is the open line number, and the Bear is online. Good morning, the Bear.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's the way. I was just wondering if it's my housemate's birthday today, 45. Happy birthday to Nicole. She likes to bet on horses with all one...
We might have lost
you there, Bear.
Might have lost the Bear there, I think.
The Bear's dropped out. I don't know what's happened to the Bear. He's gone back into hibernation.
Might have been after a tip for Wyong today.
He may have been, I don't know. Ian's on the line. Morning, Ian.
Oh, good morning, Stuart. Good morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Ian.
Ray, you might remember I'm from Canberra and we met at the horses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how are you, Ian?
Real good. But the reason for the call is that I've been fortunate enough to have gone to... most of the Asian Cup matches played at the Canberra Stadium, including last Friday night.
Unbelievable, wasn't it, Iran-Iraq?
Well, yes, it was unbelievable, as was the Iran-Pakistan match, as was the China versus North Korea match.
Mm.
But what has been incredible has been the crowds.
Yeah, full houses.
Well, there's been an aggregate of 80,000 attend the seven matches in Canberra. Not one of those matches, of course, has included no Socceroos at all. Mm. And yet the crowds have been incredible. And indeed on Friday night and the previous Tuesday night with Iraq and Pakistan and Iran and Iraq, after the match... You could have thought you were in Baghdad.
Well, you'll have to go Wednesday night for the Big Bash final now, Ian, because it'll be a great night as well.
Yeah, it certainly will be. There's I got to say, I was a skeptic before the Asian Cup about how many people are actually going to come to some
it's
of these
been a roaring success.
Games. You know, some of the games from the lesser known countries in this country. But I've got to say, I'm completely blown away by the amount of people that have turned up.
The atmosphere in the Iran-Iraq match
was
it was just amazing. I've seen very few things were so compelling. It was a great sporting theatre, and the whole tournament's been a roaring success, Stu.
It certainly has. Well, what will be another roaring success is the Big Sports Weekend Quiz, and it's time to call now, 13 53 53, if you want to play for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Prize Pack, which includes a hat, or a trucker hat, Big Sports Breakfast TV trucker hat, the diary, and a collection of CDs courtesy of our good friends at Sony Music. Call now, 13 53 53, if you want to play in the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition quiz, and one will be playing for Ray, some will be playing for me.
Now, Sky Sports Radio goes that extra mile. This is what it feels like. 7 days a week, you'll get more trackside information for thoroughbred, harness and greyhound racing. Latest markets from tab.com.au and up-to-date sports scores in cricket, tennis and soccer. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Hello.
All right, enough work. We're going to Mexican.
Your next great night could begin somewhere exotic.
Hey, keep this weekend free and pack to the beach.
Your next great weekend could begin with a surprise. Your next great drive? It begins with the Mazda 3 range. Full smartphone integration. The fuel economy of SkyActiv technology. Select models can even sense trouble and brake automatically. All new Mazda 3 hatch or sedan. The next great drive begins at your Mazda dealer or Mazda3.com.au.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focused on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Just before we get to the quiz, Hardline, Tanya mentioned the news updates, paying $2.20 on the tote to win in Ellerslie Race 5 in the Karaka Million 1200 metre race. So, short odds there.
He's short, but he's definitely the horse to beat. Most of those opponents over there, I dare say he has a measure of. They're New Zealand horses, restricted sales races, only won minor races so far. I think Hardline's definitely the horse to beat.
All right. All right, time for the quiz. Paul's on the line. He's playing for me. Good morning, Paul.
G'day, Stuart. How you going, mate?
Good. You ready to go?
Oh, I hope so.
All right, here we go. Question one. Which of these riders has won the most Tour Down Under titles? Is it Stuart O'Grady, Simon Gerrans, or Andre Greipel? No, Simon Gerrans has got three. Question two. I need you to lift here, Paul. Which city will host this year's Australian Baseball League Championship Series? Is it Sydney, Adelaide, or Perth?
I'd say Perth.
No, it's Adelaide. I've got to say, the first time I've read these questions is right now, and I'm going, these are toughies.
I'm glad it's Paul, not us.
Question three. How many consecutive appearances has Leighton Hewitt made at the Australian Open? Is it 18, 19 or 20?
20.
No, it's 19, I swear. 19. There's a lot of talk at the moment whether he'll come back for his 20th, but unfortunately, Paul, I can't give you any good news other than you didn't get any right, and you need to hope that Dave, who is playing for Ray, gets none right as well.
Is Dave there? Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, you going, Ray?
Yeah, terrific. Dave, the good news is you only need to get one to win this, so...
Story's up.
Okay, well, they're not easy, but here we go. Here's the first question, Dave. How many career victories has Robert Allenby recorded on the PGA Tour? 2, 4, or 6?
About 4.
You got it, Dave. There you go. Don't need to go any further, do we, Stu?
Shut the gates.
Shut the gates. It's all over.
Close the stables. It's all done and dusted. Congratulations, Dave. You are the winner. That was the easiest prize you've ever won, Dave, wasn't it?
It is, yes, definitely.
Well done, Dave.
Congratulations. Stay on the line. Jeremy or Tanya will get a hold of you out there and get all your details, which I'm pretty sure we already have. But
who puts these questions together?
I don't know, but I'm calling for an inquiry, an investigation. Geez, the stewards. Wait, is there a stewards inquiry? Jeremy's put his hand up, waving
ring
like
Ray Murray in.
Like it's some sort of well done. You know, some sort of, you know, accolade for some ridiculous questions. Mental note for next week.
1-0 me.
1-0 you, yes. Mental note, better questions, I would have thought.
What easier questions, you mean?
Just any other questions. 1353 53 is the open line number. The quiz, well, it's again, it was just an absolute success again. The best part about the quiz, Ray, is when Mario used to write it, he'd actually put the wrong answers down. It was just, you know, it'd be 7, and no, the answer's actually 8. So plenty going on in the world of sport. We've had Mark War on this morning talking about cricket. We didn't ask him, we didn't get a chance to ask him, but the big question is, will Mitchell Johnson work his way back into the team for this match? He needs to play some cricket leading into the ODI series, into the World Cup.
Do you play him tomorrow and again in the final? Or to save him for the final? 10 over burst, ready to rock and roll for the World Cup.
I play him tomorrow. If he's fit, and mind you, it's all on the premise that he's fit, I think he needs to play, and then he needs to play in the final, and then he builds into the World Cup from there. The question with the Australian cricket team, and I said this to Jimmy last week, was can you play 3 left-armers in the one team? Faulkner, I've got a lot of time for Faulkner. Mitchell Starc, who has just burst onto the scene and getting guys out left, right and centre, and Mitchell Johnson. Mm. Traditionally, that hasn't worked, and India played Australia in the World Cup final, and South Africa played 2 left-armers, Zahir Khan, and might have been, I'm not sure who, I can't remember the other bowler's name, but didn't quite work. I think we need to be a little bit careful with that.
I think Johnson plays, Starc plays, almost guaranteed, because I think Stark's as good a one-day bowler as we've got anywhere in the world. Do you play Faulkner as a batting all-rounder, Stu?
Well, that's the question. If he plays as a batting all-rounder, then he bats at 6. Mitchell Marsh misses out. And we haven't mentioned him this morning, but he actually played Sydney grade cricket and got through the game.
So he's ready to go.
Well, he plays as a batter. He didn't bowl. I think Mitchell Marsh is actually going to miss out. So you pick your 5 batters. Mm-hmm. Brad Haddin will probably bat 6, or Glenn Maxwell will bat 6. Brad Haddin 7, Faulkner 8, then your 3 quicks. Yeah. I don't think they're going to play a spinner. Maxwell will be the spinner, you know, whether he's up to it or not. I don't know, but the wickets are certainly going to be pace bowler-friendly rather than spinner-friendly.
At least they've got the flexibility there, Stu. There's so many options, the bowling options. The bowling stocks are as strong as I can never recall from an Australian ODI team. Batting line-up is working well, but a lot rests on Steve. How about Steve Smith?
Where?
First 3 tests as captain, scores 100. First time as captain as the ODI side, scores a magnificent match-winning 100 in Hobart. He's one phenomenal talent.
I don't think he can get, when they talk about being in form, I don't think he can get in better form than Stephen Smith at the moment. The way he's batting, the way he's hitting the ball. Certainly Australia's best player at the moment. 1353-53 is the open line number. Chris is there. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
How are you, Chris?
Hey, Ray, can I ask you, the ratings came out this week for the best sprinters in the world.
Yep.
And we came 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think Dissident actually was pretty high up as well.
Yep.
I know. Was it Dissident, wasn't it?
He was in the rankings, the top 2 were Terra Vista and Lank and Rupee, Chris,
And then we've, you've got the other ones coming through, Hawks's, and... Mm-hmm. Hawks's couple.
Chautauqua in deep field,
Well, Chautauqua's up there anyway. And
yep.
But I'm thinking to myself, it's very flattering, but isn't there any other sprinters, quality sprinters in the world? I'm just staggered. Like even Terra Vista's only won 1 Group 1 race. Mm,
yeah. It's Australians normally, but I think it's a reflection of the depth of sprinting talent in Australian racing, Chris, and... when we take our best sprinters overseas, particularly to Royal Ascot, we're invariably very competitive and often win. So I guess that's a reflection of the depth of talent, and therefore Group 1 performances in Australia are marked probably quite highly. By contrast, our middle distance performance, our weight for age stars, I think are marked very low, probably too low at times, compared to the rest of the world. But I think that's just the reflection of our sprinting depth in terms of the number of...
Looking at the rankings, though, a horse like Terra Vista is rated above, Protectionist and Adelaide, and you're thinking, How does that work? Like,
yeah, well, it's done by a panel of the world's handicappers from all different jurisdictions. They get together. For instance, Terra Vista would have been given by Greg Carpenter a certain rating after he won the Dali Classic when he ran down Chautauqua and Lankan Rupi during the spring. That rating is then considered and validated by the panel at their regular meetings each in various parts of the year. That's where they get their rankings and their final figure from. So, but as I said, I think it's more to do with the fact that our sprinters have so much depth and they've been so good for so long that a Group 1 win here does rank highly around the world.
Well, this TJ Smith coming up could be the greatest race in Australia this year.
Race of the autumn, I think, without doubt. If all those good horses line up, if you can imagine, Lankan Rupi won that race last year brilliantly. Then if you throw in Terra Vista, who beat him fair and square up the straight, Chautauqua was an emerging star. How good is Deep Field? Gee, it's going to be a race and a half.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your call. There's plenty to come up with the championships coming up and the Autumn Carnival in Sydney, and hopefully the good people at Sky Sports will send me and my wife our invitation to the Tab Marquee, because we really enjoy
You'll
that day.
You'll be there, Stu, I reckon.
Really enjoy that day, and hopefully I've got some sort of share in a runner that's coming past. Number six, that's mine, that type of stuff. So, look, it's certainly it's that time of year. And look, you've got to think, we've got the Cricket World Cup coming up. We've got the Ashes coming up. We've then got the Rugby League season. We haven't even mentioned the Auckland Nines this morning, and a lot of the teams have announced who they're picking. And it was interesting to note that some teams have gone with stronger fields than others. And I look at Manly probably as one straight off the bat with, you know, Daly Cherry Evans out there. It's just such a risk to play something. Kieran Foran, and heaven forbid, you don't want this to happen.
Someone gets hurt.
And we saw it last year with Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. And George Jennings from Penrith was a star. He got hurt, missed the whole season. He's back in the Penrith
Gidley,
squad.
Jared Mullen, he's going again. I can't. We had Rick Stone on and we asked him, are you going to send Jared Mullen? He was uncommittal. But he's going. And after what happened last year, you would have just thought, Jared, I know you're good at look, you're a star, but, you know, I worry. The Auckland Nines a great concept and all the rest of it makes money and... Do you send your best players?
It's a tough one. NRL's official launch is coming up this Thursday, Stewie. Greg Inglis and Sean Johnson, two of the absolute superstars of the game, will launch the 2015 season in Auckland on Thursday.
Face of the game. Do you want that tag?
It's been a mock, hasn't it?
It has. Although last year, Minicello, we've got to say, he did a wonderful job, as you'd imagine he would. 13:53:53, Adrian's on the open line. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, g'day, Stuart. G'day, Ray. How are you?
How are you, Adrian?
Look, good. Look, just on, this... Cricket Australia, why do they treat the Australian public with complete contempt? Why can't they come out and say Dave Warner's not playing, didn't play the other day because of his rat bag behaviour, not pull some, hamstring strain as a reason? It's just pathetic.
It's actually an interesting point that you make there, that they've said he's got some sort of strain. He did have a strain from the Sydney match. He wasn't moving freely, but it is a very interesting argument that why not... Well, we don't know for a start, but it's a good point you make.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, his behaviour is over the top, and then you get Darren Lehman as the coach endorsing such behaviour. It's a really bad look, And you have David Warner. He throws one at Joe Root. What are you, 60 kilos, ringing wet? Look 16, which is pathetic. Let's see Dave Warner take on, say, Darren Sammy or Ross Taylor. I can't see him doing that.
Let's see him do neither of them, to be fair. But I know what you're saying.
He's not going to bully those people, is he?
At the same token, you want Dave Warner to... continue that aggressive nature. I know you probably have to tone down his on-field behaviour in terms of his batting aid, and you want him to maintain that aggressive nature.
Magnificent. If you would just, do what he does best and score brilliantly, but not going with all the carry-on, right?
Fair point.
It's just too much. Everyone's over it, and I talk to everybody through daily work and all that, and then when we talk about cricket, everyone, bar probably, I'm going to talk to Slats, he said he's under 6 or 8 year old, loves David Warner. But anyone who can understand his behaviour, they're over it. They're sick of David Warner carrying on the way that he does. He can't seem to be able to control himself. I don't know why he does it.
Well, he does it because he's a fiery, he doesn't know where the line is. The interesting part about the whole... And thank you for your call, Adrian. We appreciate it. The interest about Dave Warner saying speak English. I would have continued, when I was playing, it was frustrating when you played against other countries and they spoke in a language you didn't know what they were saying. However, it was an added advantage for them. And secondly, exactly. Rohit Sharma is clever enough to learn two languages. Why? Okay, if David Warner wants to go out, and if any player wants to, go and learn Hindi.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for David Warner in one respect, because I heard him interviewed by the boys on the Big Sports Breakfast during the week, and he said all he asked Rohit Sharma was to speak English. He said it in a forceful manner, obviously.
That's the problem.
Rohit Sharma continued to speak in his native tongue. I think it's some sort of Hindu. And Dave said, well, I can't translate what he said to you because you can't put it on air. So, but I think the standards of behaviour during the Indian and Australian Test Series, Stewie, had to be reined back in. It got pretty heated out of it.
It got to it. Virat Kohli went out looking for a fight. Mm. And I think, I don't know if you remember the footage of Brad Haddin doing the big tick. I don't know if you ever saw that, Stewie, when they got him out. The big tick was, I bet you they walked out and said, no one's going to talk to him. If he wants to fight with you, just let him let him talk. You can't fight with yourself. And we used it in different stages with different people, that those that wanted that combat, just ignore
just
them.
Just brush them.
Because they can't, and they need it to get themselves going. Mm-hmm. As soon as you engage them, they went to a new level.
Mm. Well, we saw it with Mitchell Johnson. As soon as they had a go at Mitchell Johnson, he said you shouldn't pick the wrong bloke in the fight here, and he came out in that.
Exactly.
And he absolutely took into your betting
apart.
And
the other thing Virat Kohli's got to remember is he likes it.
Mm.
I'm not sure all his teammates do.
And not everyone does. Everyone plays the game differently. Dave Warner's natural style is to be aggressive, and heaven forbid if they ever try to curtail that. But I think even Dave would admit at times
he
has to.
It just looked bad. It looks horrible on TV. And, you know, I've got an 8-year-old that loves David Warner.
Ricky,
he really does.
Ricky Ponting wrote an article, and he's quite very incisive points he made. He said, quite often, what happens on the field looks a lot worse than what it really is. Now, Dave Warner said in a forceful manner, speak English, and probably looked a lot worse in the animated way he went about it than actually what the conversation was on the pitch.
Yeah, without doubt. But, you know, again, if he turned around and said, why? I've learnt English. It's not my natural language. If you're not bright enough to learn Hindi, well, what do I care? why should Rohit Sharma do anything but talk the way he wants to? SMS has come in here from Tom from Sylvania that said, Stuart, check today's paper. In that very forceful tone, that is. Mitchell Marsh did bowl yesterday, and he got 2 for 14 off 4 overs. So, regards, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's good to see that some things, the show may have changed, but Tom hasn't. He's still prepared to correct me whenever that's required.
It happens. Two to follow from yesterday's meeting, boys. I think in race 2, number 6, the winner, Marple Miss, is a filly going, or mare going places for Chris Lee. He's having a tremendous run. And I watched a horse flash home to run second yesterday, an imported gallop from Tony McAvoy. Stable called Sass and Keel in race 3. Centre pivot was too good, but Sass and Keel, an eye-catching run. It's a horse to follow too, boys.
All right, a horse to follow from me. There's a tip from Ray Thomas. I haven't got a horse racing tip other than I'm thinking about purchasing or considering. Ray, I need some paperwork or something like that to read up on. And
we've got a month to work this one out.
We've got a month. Okay. Look, it's nearly 10 o'clock and the bonus hour is nearly over, Ray. So, great first show.
Enjoyed it. Great fun, Stewie. And look, so much sport again today. The Australian Open, the Big Bash tonight, the soccer. What do you watch? Just channel surf like me and drive everyone mad around you. So.
Try. A couple of the big tennis matches. Nadal takes on Kevin Anderson, not before 2 p.m. on Rod Laver Arena. The big game is tonight. Andy Murray v. Grigor Dimitrov, which is Roger Rashid's charge in the Australian
Open.
Two
big games of our Aussie boys.
Massive games. And the Aussie boys, don't forget them. Thomas Berdych, Bernard Tomic, not before 3 p.m. And Nick Kyrgios v. Andre Seppi, the Federer slayer, not before 6:15. It's been a great day, Ray. Thank you.
Enjoyed it, Stewie. Have a great week, long weekend. Happy Australia Day to